My name is Paola Tester. I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another project by Anthony Gormley in Trafalgar Square. It's the 6th of August 2009 at 15:23. Please could you tell me your full name, your date of birth and where you're from?
Amy Jane Henderson. I was born on the 17th of July 1981 and I'm from Dundee up in Scotland.
How are you feeling about going on the fourth loop today?
Just a little bit nervous and not really coping with the heat in London. Being from up in Scotland, I'm living on the east coast, you get a nice breeze, it's usually pretty cool, but down in London it's pretty hot. Especially if you get lost in the underground and the Bakerloo line was broken and we got stuck down there. But feeling really good and very excited.
Have you made the trip especially today?
Yeah, came down. I was originally going to come down today, but my train would have gotten at 2:15, which would have left a 45-minute margin for error. And no offence to British Rail, but the trains usually are running late or get held up usually in a field in the middle of nowhere. So we came down yesterday and are staying in King's College Hall's accommodation, which is nice and cheap, and being a student, that's quite good. And so just been running around trying to get everything, all the sort of final arrangements all sorted for today.
And are you going back after this, or are you staying for a while?
Staying for one more night and then going back up tomorrow morning. The festival starts in Edinburgh tomorrow, so all trains out of London are booked, all seats booked on every train apart from the one at 10:30, so unfortunately we have to leave first thing in the morning, but really looking forward to staying here for another night as well.
And other than the heat, have you been enjoying London?
I love it. I'm hoping to come here to study at the Royal College when I finish art school. I'm studying at art school in Dundee, so I have 2 more years left and hoping to come down here and study painting. So that would be in 2 years. I love it, although I think you might get a little bit kind of sidetracked, and but just there's so much going on in London, especially coming from Dundee where it's such a small kind of community. We have 1,000 students in Dundee, but in the summer they all go away, so it's like a ghost town. So coming to London, me and my mum, our eyes were wide open, just like popping out our heads. It just sort of the mix mash of people, and especially really like the music on the underground. Such a weird eclectic music. You had like the string quartet, and then you've got some really old Rasta guy playing electric guitar, and then you've got jazz, and it's really good. It kind of makes the heat a lot more bearable as well.
Are you from Dundee originally?
I was born in Dundee in Ninemouth Hospital, but I grew up in Carnoustie, a famous golfing town. If you're meet an American and tell them you're from Carnoustie, they always say, "Wow, that's the most beautiful town. I've always wanted to live there." But I lived in Edinburgh for a few years and now back studying in Dundee at the art school.
So what took you to study in Dundee? It sounds like, have you left your studies a little bit later?
I originally went to university when I left school and did a degree, well, did 2 years of a degree in religious studies and philosophy at Edinburgh University, but it wasn't really for me. And I think that when you leave school, you have to be very disciplined and you have to work hard yourself. And I didn't really kind of have that temperament. So I left and became a mixologist, so trained in bartending and did that for a few years, and then had ill health. So I had to find something to do. So I started doing drawing and painting, and then my sister, who went to art school, suggested that I should maybe go to art school. So I'm now studying painting, and I think it's really good. I think something like art school, or you know, returning to education later on in your life, you know it's something that you really want to do, so you work really hard at it, more so than I would have done when I left school. I mean, I have teachers that say, you really should have gone to art school when you left school, but I know that I would never have been able to achieve what I am now, you know, when I would have been 17, so...
And how have you found it going back to study? Have you got into it more?
I love it. I'm a total geek, so yeah, I really like it. I'm in school 9 till 9, 5 days a week, and then I work usually on some time in the weekend as well. So but I think that it's different if it's something that you really enjoy doing. Like, sort of, it's just the most amazing thing. Like when I'm painting, I feel like I can actually sing. Like my heart just swells up because I'm just so happy. And I never felt like that about anything ever before, so... It just doesn't seem like work to me, and it never seems like a chore, apart from the written stuff. Don't like doing that, essays and things like that, but the actual practical side of it, I love it. It's really good, definitely makes up for it.
So what's the course that you're doing at the moment?
I'm doing a Bachelor of Arts, and it's in fine art, but my specialism is in painting, mostly figurative work, but I do a lot of mixed media style industrial landscape sort of collage pieces, very textural. So I'm hoping to try and collaborate the two together, and I think that's kind of what I'm aiming to be doing this year, and we'll just have to see how it goes.
And if you do go to London, what would you like to do then as part of your studies?
Probably figure work. The annoying thing is that I have just had a few health problems, so being closer to home was more beneficial to me, so I chose Dundee. Although Dundee is a very modern art school, especially in fine art, you get to choose, you know, get to work like across a variety of different disciplines. So it's not a school of painting, a school of sculpture, and it doesn't work that way. So I would be hoping to really come down here from like a technical point of view and really work really hard at sort of my figurative stuff. And it's just such an inspiring city, London. I just think that you would never sort of run out of inspiration. It sort of feeds your drive and sort of determination, because there's just so much energy and excitement in this place that I kind of feel like Dundee, it's a bit, I don't know, maybe it's just because I know the area so well, you kind of get a bit cold feet, like you want to just keep moving. So
do you manage to come to London quite often, or?
I came down last year with the art school, which is great. I was chatting to my mum last night about that, and there were 200 of us that came down. So I mean, we all went and did our own little things. There was no sort of curriculum for what we had to do, so I kind of felt like I actually lived in London, because I got to bump into them in various different places, you know, at the Tate or in like Trafalgar Square or down Camden or wherever. So that was quite cool. Yeah, it was good. We're only here for 3 days, but I would definitely try and come down. The only thing is, it's quite expensive. Just being a student and not really having that much money, so.
Has it made a difference going back to Italy after having a few years working?
Yeah, I think so. I think you mature a lot. You sort of grow as a person. You figure out what it is that you want in life, and you're really sort of aware of yourself and just like how you how far you can push things as well, like how, just what, you know, you're aware of what you can actually achieve, and just also your cultural experiences and your experience with people. You just know so much more, and you can just draw on your life experiences and bring them into your art, and not necessarily in a really obvious way, but you know, it's all there, it's all part of experience. And I think that, you know, life experience just counts for so much. So yeah.
And are you able to relate to the students who are doing it the first time around?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I mean, people are always really surprised at how old I am. I always say, how old are you? And I say, 28. I'm like, no way. I always think you're about 22, 23, something like that. So young at heart. And I really like working with people, and I really like people in general. So I consider myself quite approachable. Student rep at, like, voted in student rep at the art school. So just find it really easy to get on with people. I don't really think age kind of really matters, and I can kind of understand where they're coming from, because I remember how I felt when I first came to uni, and just kind of how vulnerable I felt and how scary it is. And again, just drawing from your experiences and being able to kind of take people under your wing and help them and give them like some advice, and that's definitely a good thing. So always just trying to help people out.
Have you always been interested in art, or is it something that you just discovered later?
Do you know, this sounds really bad, but I really had no interest in art. I mean, I could draw and stuff in school, and I did higher art, but my big sister, she studies sculpture and has a degree in sculpture, and we used to get dragged around galleries when we were younger, and I absolutely hated her for it, because another gallery, and she was quite sort of into, really into her painting and stuff, and I just really didn't like it, just wasn't interested. It was much rather like, I was really interested in sport and did like a lot of cross country running and applied to sport also when I went to uni, for uni as well as my religious education. And yeah, I just really didn't have an interest in it at all. And even now, there are a lot of art that I really don't have a time for at all. I'm really into sort of my classical style of paintings. I put on my profile page for the One Another, my favourite painting of all time is Caravaggio's Supper at Emmaus. I wrote an essay about that when I was at college before I applied to university, and I wasn't actually aware that it was in the National Gallery or one of the paintings. And I went there last year when I was saying we went for the our college trip to the university, and I actually burst into tears when I saw it because I was so emotional. I had to sit down. I was stuck there for about 2 hours in front of it, so that's where I'm going to go after here as a wee treat to myself. I'm going to go sit back in front of that painting and just, yeah, really appreciate life and things.
So what is it that interests you now in it, or that motivates you through your course?
I'm really interested in colour and just... I don't really know what it is. I think I'm generally just very excited at life, and I think if you're working in a particular medium, you're always drawn to that medium. So for me, it's painting, and I like really detailed, rich painting. So I just think that classical styles of painting are just beautiful to me. Again, it's just for my own enjoyment and what I can take from it, but just seeing how people interpret the world as well. You know, you go into a gallery and it's just people's sort of take on life, or how they put two things together or two objects together and create a whole new meaning, or I just think that's great. Just being like creative in general, I think so many of us are creative and don't really use our potential. Like, I never even knew I could paint, and if I hadn't had ill health, I probably wouldn't be sitting here, because then I wouldn't have gone to art school, I wouldn't have got the email that told me about the Anthony Gormley project. So, you know, every cloud kind of has a silver lining, and I think in each of us there is some sort of creativity, and sometimes it's a shame that people go through their whole life and never really sort of get a chance to sort of harness that and use it, and because I just think that being creative is all really about kind of, there's just so much good in the world, and it's just a chance to kind of enhance that and just really make people aware of just how beautiful life is and all the things that are around us, and interpret in different ways. So it can only be a good thing. And I volunteer in shelter, and a woman came in last Friday. Sorry, I'm aware that I might be talking too fast. And she came in last Friday, and she was just talking about art school, and she says, "Oh, you go to art school? I do the window paintings for shelter, do on the glass." And she said, "Oh, I used to draw years and years ago." She says, "Oh, I even draw still now for my grandchildren." And I said, "Well, draw me something." And she did this, just a little couple. She said that she draws these women, and her granddaughter picks what kind of wedding dresses she wants the model to be wearing. So she did this drawing, and it was the most beautiful drawing I have ever seen. And I said to her, I said, "You need to go to college and just have a chance to get that creativity out and be surrounded by like-minded people and with tutors who can encourage that and bring it out of you." So I went, I said, "Come in next week," and I gave her a copy of the Dundee College prospectus, so she's away to go do some drawing for that. So hopefully do like an evening course or something. So
would you like to try and make a career out of being an artist when you finish your studies?
Well, that's the plan. Fingers crossed. I think as long as I'm painting and I'm happy, I think that's kind of the main thing. I would really like to teach part-time, not in high school. I wouldn't go anywhere near the education system. That's just too scary. But hopefully at college level or university, where people are there and they want to learn, they're there through choice. They've either had to pay for their education, or, you know, that making like a decision to study it, further education is like a big decision to make. So, and I just think that, I know, especially at Dundee, that painting doesn't really get encouraged enough. I know if my lecturers hear me saying this, they'll really not like me, but I have said this for a good couple of years since I've been there, and just getting people really sort of excited and encouraging them as well. I think sometimes maybe in higher education things, maybe the students aren't given enough support and encouragement, and just really get behind them, lift them up and make them feel really good about themselves. Because I think that if you start to feel negatively or doubt yourself in any way, then your work really suffers from it. I think there's so much to be said for sort of self-belief. And I remember I used to do life drawing, and I used to think I was awful, and then I just practiced more and more and more, and then I sort of think this is almost like kind of like a competitive sport. Not that art is ever repetitive, but especially in something like life drawing, where you have to concentrate so much, it's almost like if you psych yourself up beforehand, just think, "I can do this, I know that I can do it, and I'm going to be fine, and it's like my work's going to be really, like it's going to be really good." You're always, I found it anyway, that I was amazed actually just how much further I could take it. So just to be there to, you know, again, just drawing on my experiences and being able to help students and sort of, yeah, through higher education and bring out the best in them, for sure.
What's the volunteer work you do at Shelter?
I just volunteer on a Friday afternoon, sit behind the counter, chat to all the old ladies, my boss Liz and Karen, they make me cups of tea, we drink Women's Balance Yogi organic tea, and I love it. It's just such a cutie little shop, and you get third off clothes, which is quite nice, so I have a huge wardrobe of clothes. And it's just a nice thing to do, it finishes the week off really well. I volunteer with another girl, Sarah, who's just a bit mental, and just it's just good fun. It's just nice to be able to give something back to the community, and if you have spare time at all, it's volunteering is just such a worthwhile thing, and there's so many volunteering jobs going. There's one going in Dundee every fourth Thursday evening of the month, playing board games at old people at the hospital. I wanted to go for that one, but I work on a Thursday night, but I thought that was quite a good one.
And what's the work that you do around your studies, when you're working?
I work in Boots, the chemist, is that what you meant? Like working, yeah. So I've been working pretty much all summer, about 5-6 days a week. So as a student, you accumulate quite a lot of debt during the year with your £1,900 fees or something to pay, and just rent and stuff like that. So people say students have it easy, but I worked out that I actually spend more time on holiday than I do in uni. But then in order to be able to survive, in order to be able to pay for everything like fees, rent and materials as well, which aren't cheap, I have to work for the rest of the, you know, for the holidays. So, I mean, I would rather have 4 weeks summer holidays, but I've been off uni now since April, and I go back, I think, yeah, about a month from today, so... I like working in Boots. I like working with the general public, so just being quite geeky that way. So like product knowledge and helping people, and it's close to where I live. So.
Are you pleased with the move you made to go back to study?
Oh yeah, definitely. I was kind of, I don't know. I was walking out the house the other day, and my dad said to me, "You know, I love you, honey." He said, even when your life was going down the tubes, I still loved you, but now I love you even more. And I was kind of thinking about that, and just thinking that I wonder where I would be now if I'd, I don't know, like I didn't really have a great sense of direction, and my health was starting to really deteriorate, and it would just been really interesting if I hadn't had all these, I mean, everything happens for a reason, and I believe that what's for you is not ever going to pass you by. But yeah, I know, I'm definitely just really happy to be where I am right now. And here today, yeah, even more so.
So what will you be doing on the plinth today?
I'm going to be planting 60 trees. I wanted to do something symbolic for each minute of the hour. I had originally I was going to get 60 pieces of card, and I was going to pick 60 people. 60 people, friends and family I knew, and then people I met on the way down to London and in London, and get them to write like a wish, something that they sort of wished for in their whole entire life, and get them to write it on. I give them a number to correspond with a bit of card. And I was going to attach them to a balloon and let one balloon go every minute. And I was chatting to my flatmate by then. He said, I think someone did something very similar to that on the third day. And also sorry to the person that did this on the third day, the environmental impact of letting go balloons. I looked at like eco-friendly balloons, and even then they take a little bit longer to decompose, and the fish and stuff like that might get in the water. So I decided to do something environmental, because I'm always badgering my friends to start recycling, and don't put that plastic bottle in the bin, you have to take it home and things like that. And I've got a little patch outside where I do a bit of planting, and my sister and my dad have got an allotment, so I was like, oh, I'm planting 60 trees. It was my flatmate who really helped me come up with the idea, thanks Rob. So the idea is I'm going to plant 60 trees. So I did really well. It was just Friday. I thought, you know, I've spent about £150 coming down here. I wonder if I could maybe get sponsorship. So I phoned the Woodland Trust, and they were very good, and they gave me a banner to put on the top, and they gave me some help. And a company called Trees for Life up in, I think it's Elgin, somewhere up near Inverness, and there's a lane up there, was very nice. She said, Trafalgar Square, it's very far away. So she was really lovely, and they helped me out. And there's another company called Trees for Cities. They're based in London, and they have adverts up in the underground, I noticed today, and they gave me some help. And they all gave me badges or bumper stickers or these really cool glow-in-the-dark groovy tree hugger bracelets, and just some information about tree planting as well, and So I'm going to plant, I've got them all from Acorn, so I'm going to plant the acorn in a pot that my local garden centre in Carnoustie, thanks Mel, gave me some pots. So the acorns are going in the pots and I'm just going to put some compost in them. Then there's a company in London called London Biopackaging who supplied me very nicely with these biodegradable plastic bags to put the pots in, and then they're all going in a recycled paper bag from London Biopackaging. With all the sort of bumper stickers and things like that, and then I'm just going to hand them out to people in the square so people can take them away. And I've written a little bit of information about me and the project and sort of some growing instructions. And I've, my flatmate this morning, or very late last night when he got home from the cinema, set up a blog for me called trafalgartrees.blogspot.com, which I just frantically scribbled on all the bags about 5 minutes before this interview, so people can then send me pictures of their trees when they get home, and then as they grow, hopefully, so I can still keep in touch with people and see how the trees see how they grow. And I really like the idea that 60 trees were born on top of the plinth. I think that would be really cool, so when I have grandchildren, they can walk past the plinth and be like, oh, granny was up there and she planted 60 trees up there. Or even for all the people that take away the trees, I think it's, you know, for only 2,400 people to get the chance to go up in the plinth, it's really good to be able to involve 60 more people, like, really directly with this project, to take something away. And, yeah, it'll just be really interesting and just really nice for them to be part of that and have something, sort of a lasting memory that will hopefully grow. I'm told that acorns are really hardy and should germinate. I spent an hour last night sanding the outside of the shells, and they've been soaked in a tub that's dripped water all over me around London today. But I'm hoping that they will germinate and the trees will go, and we'll just have to see how it goes from there.
And how will you be giving them out afterwards, or from the actual place?
Well, I'm a bit worried that I'm going to run out of time, so just have to be really quick and hopefully just quickly. And then either I've got string around each handle, so I'm hoping to either tie the string around the handles and then chuck them to the side, which is, I think it's only about 2 meters high, or to the barrier. My mum's with me, so she's hopefully going to do some PR for me on the ground and get people to come along and take a tree. Unfortunately, if people don't live within the UK, they can't take away a tree because just because it's got soil and it's foreign. I have written a note on the thing saying, if you are foreign, please hand it to someone else who is of a UK resident, as I don't really want them ending up in bins in airports, and I know there's so many tourists in London. So yeah, if I have time, then I'll chuck them away. If not, then I'm going to bring them back down and I'll pop them into the bags that are all ready to go, and then just walk down with the box and just hand them out to people. I do have my headphones with me as well. There's I really like this artist called Andrew Bird, so if I have time, I'd really like to sit and listen to like a piece of music by him, but I'm a bit worried I'm going to run out of time. But if I did, then that would be, there's a song, Fits and Dizzy Spells, that's just the most amazing song, and it just makes you smile, and it just kind of sums up the craziness of just what's going on in Trafalgar Square and just sort of the busyness. And I think that'd be really nice to listen to that as a way of finishing off. So if I have time, then I'll listen to that. If not, then I'll see.
And what impact do you hope to have by doing this?
Oh, just to sort of, I mean, I'm one of those people that walks along the street and just grins manically at how sort of amazing life is, and just a chance to, I don't know, just make people really aware of just how beautiful Mother Nature is and how we take our trees for granted, and yet they do so much by taking in all that disgusting carbon dioxide that's, you know, polluting our environment. I mean, I don't want to be really evangelical about it at all, and it's not kind of what I'm doing. I'm just sort of just want people to take something away and just be like how amazing like creation is, and yeah, just to kind of make people more aware of their surroundings and take home this little tree and like let it grow with love. And I have a lot of friends watching online as well, so and all the people at the Woodland Trust and things as well, so just it's a good thing to do, and I just want to make people like how good life is. And yeah.
And what are some of the things that are important to you in your life?
Friends and family, definitely. That just pretty much sums up, I think, that you know, it doesn't matter how many friends or family you have. I think that as long as you have people that understand you and respect you and people you can talk to, I think that's a great thing, because it's all about having a good kind of support support network. So if you fall down, someone's always there to kind of pick you up and help you get through the hard stuff, and there to celebrate all the good things as well. Like, I think that's definitely, and just being able to, just the fact that I'm alive, or being able to walk down the street, and I'm really obsessed with clouds at the moment, just like how amazing they are, and the fact that they were, I was on the bus the other day looking at the clouds and just thinking, you know, the air that we breathe, we're breathing in air of, I'm not a royalist, but kings of queens of past, or even like, it made me think of Obama. You know, the air gets circulated so much, so the air that we breathe in has been breathed by so many other people. And the fact that that's up in clouds as well, the idea that, you know, all these other people, all their breath is kind of in there, and just, yeah, being able to like, just appreciate the little small things in life as well as the big things.
Right, and we're going to have to finish, but just to summarise, what does it mean to you to be a part of this project?
Someone did say I was going to get asked that question, and I was like, oh, it's fine, I'll think something on the spot. But I think it's a great thing to be a part of this whole portrait of Bitten. I mean, it's such a raw, it's so eclectic in our mix. So I just think it's great to actually got picked and be part of it, and I think that what I'm doing definitely represents me, and also like will represent how like a lot of other people feel. So I'm really excited to see how the project progresses, and sort of the finished pieces as well, sort of the thing about the National Archive and how it all goes together with the book and things like that. So
great, thank you.
Okay.